his core. Serve this to a donkey.
No, you wouldn't. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Core. This is Core, the Heroes of the Storm podcast for August 1st, 2017. Welcome to a new month, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. All right, you guys, what's with all this beard shit that's going on? Can we talk about the beard thing? Why does everything have beards on the PTR? Who do they think they're fooling here? I can't tell who's what and which is who and why. All the ladies have beards. Some of the men have beards that didn't normally have beards. It could be a Hanzo reference, could be some kind of other thing. I don't know. So I'm real curious if you guys have theories. Bo, we'll begin with you. Why all the beards?
Well, I think everyone's assuming it's a bug. But John had actually an interesting theory that didn't occur to me, and he shared it with me last night.
Oh,
I assumed it was a bug, and I assume people... There were some tweets out there from developers that were kind of eyebrow raising for a bug, but I'll let John explain.
It can't possibly be a bug though, because it's like art that sits still in the store that's like not moving poly. It's not like some weird poly glitch. These are shaped to their faces, so I cannot buy this idea that it's a bug. So John, what's your theory?
Yeah, I mean, somebody didn't slip and hit the beard button. Like, my bad, guys. I turned on all the beards. I don't think that's the case. And they're being real coy about it. You know, usually you bring a bug to Blizzard.
Blizzard bug.
That's hard to say.
Yeah, Blizzard bug. Blizzard beard bug. The BBB. The triple B.
The triple B.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they might acknowledge it if people are concerned and they're like, is this a bug? Clearly, they didn't intend to give Tracer a beard.
Yeah.
Probably.
Right.
But this was just this weird. And they've been real coy about it. They're like, you know, doing bad beard puns. You mustache us about this bug.
Mm-hmm.
Let me shave you some time. Like, you know, a bunch of bad puns that I can't even repeat or say correctly.
Those were from the Heroes Twitter, right? Like, they were.
Yeah.
That was the Heroes Twitter account.
Yeah. They were dinking around directly with us right from the official Twitter.
Now, it could be that this is the most ridiculous bug in the world, and so they're having fun with it, but I think it's a tease. Mm. I think they're playing coy and being cool because they're teasing us. The problem is, I have no idea what they're teasing us with because I don't know who has prominent beards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what Bo's alluding to, my one theory is I said, I don't know. Maybe a character like Sombra hacked the game.
Mm. Oh, that's an interesting. Okay. See, I hadn't heard this. That's fascinating. I could see that being a thing they'd do. It's not a reference to this Justice League people with all their beards getting physically removed. Sorry, it's playing. There's this whole thing about Justice League and the guy that plays Superman there, Henry Cavill. He has a beard or has a mustache he's unable to shave off of for another movie he's doing. So for all these extensive reshoots they're doing for the Justice League movie, they are digitally removing his mustache in the Justice League shots.
Wait, I didn't hear this.
Yeah, this is true. This is all true. there are people whose job it is to do that. And what's great is there's some really awesome side videos and GIFs and stuff where they've taken like the Wonder Woman movie and done a scene where she's got a mustache and everyone's got mustaches now. So some people have been having fun with it. I'm not saying it's related, but maybe it's possible.
Maybe they're just being a part of the big meme machine that is the internet.
Sure. Sure, sure. And Kel'Thuzad, he's got a little mustache, doesn't he? He had one back in the day before he was like full Skeletor man.
Yeah. It's possible. I mean, there is good reason to believe, quasi spoilers, that Kel'Thuzad is the next hero.
Mm-hmm.
If the internet is to be believed.
Yeah.
It's betrayed us before, it'll betray us again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, when I think Kel'Thuzad, I don't think, now there's a man with a beard.
No, me either. Like, that's not his prominent thing. Like, normally if you did a beard, it would be because the thing you're about to tease is all about beards. Or is prominently known as a beard guy. Or, not to use Hitler for no good reason, but, you know, Hitler's dumb little...
Hitler again!
His dumb little mustache, right? Like, that's a Hitler mustache. And so if you put a bunch of little Hitler mustaches on people in some format, like, let's say a yearbook is suddenly covered in Hitler mustaches, there's probably either a Hitler... Or a who's the old comedian back in the day, a long time ago?
Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin. It could be that. Yeah. But you know, I could see that. But in this case, I've racked my brain. The only prominent beard and mustache I've seen in any of the Blizzard franchises that really jumps out at me are characters that are already in, like Stukov, like I can't think who else. Who else has one? Freaking Gilney.
Kyle Ferguson
has one. So it's a real weird deal, and it's not just mustaches, it's beards as well. And they're tightly cropped, kind of modern looking. That's why I was feeling a little Hanzo there, maybe. But I kind of like your hacked thing better. I actually think John might be onto something. I think it's her.
Could it also not be something... I think we all got a little burned with the remember the D.Va reveal in the Genji trailer?
Yeah.
With the marks on the door. Looked like a dragon's claw. Yeah. Everyone said Deathwing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was just it was just Diablo. I mean, it was a very good trailer and Diablo was amazing. But in a certain way, there was like some expectation shuffling. So there could be some next leveling going on with the mustache thing and some, you know, here's a mustache. Now let's bring mana. Millstorm, who's his name? Millstorm
Manahouse Man.
Millhouse Manastorm.
Yeah, something like the mana guy.
Have we ever talked about the idea of, sorry, I don't mean to derail it, but you just said something that made me think if we've ever discussed this before. Do you think Blizzard ever introduces a character whole cloth into the game and not from one of their IPs? Have we talked about this? Them just like starting from scratch and going, here's a character named Bill, and he's got
Fancy Jim.
Yep, Fancy Jim. He's able to shoot fire out of his ass, and he's also got these claws. Man, that'll be a good kit. Like, do you think we ever get something that's just completely unrelated to any of the IPs? Probably not, right?
I hope so. Yeah. I think because part of the fun of Heroes is that we have all these heroes from games we love in Heroes. But wouldn't it be great, you know, to have the reverse happen? Like, to have a Heroes thing? Like we had Murky. Murky is actually an example of this, because I don't think Murky existed in World of Warcraft until after his appearance in Heroes.
Did he?
It was the name of a battle pet, but he wasn't a character until Heroes.
So let's say that's like a prototype for what we're talking about, which is completely a non-existent character. That's like has a unique hero's identity, maybe even rooted in some of the meme and lore of the game that we've built up in esports or just the community.
Sure.
I mean, isn't that the case with like Lieutenant Morales or Sergeant Hammer? Like we had those units.
Yeah.
But we didn't have those characters.
But I'm saying like, hey, it's the Nexus Monkey and he's come down to see what's going on. You know, something that's like unrelated to anything. It's not a unit. It's not a character or even a thing that used to be something else in a previous game. It's straight up like, in the world of the Nexus stuff, there's some other being or beings.
Like the Raven Lord. Like if the Raven Lord was a character.
There you go. Sure.
Instead of just like a guy who's opening portals as well.
Yeah. And we've talked before about the Raven Lord and the Crypt Keeper. Or what's his name? The Crypt guy. The dead guy. What's his name? Who's the other guy?
The
Grave Lord?
The Grave.
That's not it. It's something.
Is he just the gravekeeper?
I might be able to settle this.
He's the mine guy. He's the mines guy.
Yeah, I think he's the gravekeeper.
Gravekeeper.
Yeah, gravekeeper and Ravenlord. Okay. Chat room is agreeing.
Okay, so those two guys could be heroes one day. They could be heroes for just one day. I love that song. But then the other thing is just like a whole cloth like creation in the Nexus lore is interesting to me. Like you may only be able to ever do one or if you did more, you'd have to really expand on that. But I do like the idea that Heroes of the Storm itself might produce something that's new and unique to the world. The only reason these Overwatch characters are you know, who they are is because there's another game. But if you just introduced a British girl that ran around shooting things, that would be pretty weird. Well, I'm looking for that. I want that weird. I want it. I want no reference point. I want no other material to back it up. Just one of your 200 characters or more, just have it be some kind of Nexus monkey. That's what I want. But,
I mean, we have that. It's Brightwing.
Oh.
Yeah, monkey wing. That's true.
She is kind of a monkey.
It's horrifying. It's the most terrifying of all the things.
I don't like it. It's like a sculptured turd. I don't like it. I've never liked the monkey form of that skin. It's bad.
Like, I'd love to see the Nexus develop its own lore. I mean, I think we all have ideas of what the quote-unquote story of Heroes is. Yeah. I mean, probably not some. Some people are probably like, yeah, it's to kill other people. Mm-hmm. But I have an idea of what the Nexus is all about, and so I'd love to see it create its own lore. I don't know if I would want just like here's Papaya the Warrior King, and we've created him, and now he's here. Mm-hmm. Because that's what League of Legends and Dota 2 does. You know, like, that's... They're all Papaya the Warrior King. That's 100% of their heroes.
Right.
And then we look at them and go, Papaya the Warrior King looks like Arthas for some reason.
Yeah.
like I think Blizzard should continue to trade on their strength, but I wouldn't mind seeing the lore of the Nexus get explored and then maybe a hero come out of that. I think that would be a cool idea.
Yeah, what if this is disrupting some other beings? Normal way of existing. Like, what if this Nexus portal has caused a rift in that dimension, and what if something there had to react to that? Like, in the original design for Blizzard or Blizz Dota or whatever they were calling it, Blizzard Dota. What would they call it? Blizzard.
It was Blizzard All Stars. I think it was Blizzard Dota.
Originally, it was Blizzard
Dota.
Yeah. Then it was Blizzard All Stars, and then it became Heroes of the Storm. During those 4 or 5 years of jumping around, but at one point there was an iteration where they had those big, like, Titan looking dudes on each side or whatever, not on each side, but they were like playing a big international or intergalactic game of chess or whatever it looked like, and you would fight somehow. They would be overseeing things. I don't know if they were ever directly involved in gameplay, but we know they're, you know, in theory there's some dudes that are out there in the Nexus doing things. You know, Nexus Lords or something. So
yeah, there's somebody who rules over, like, Raven Lord, Gravekeeper. There's someone who rules over the Sky Temple area, mm-hmm. which is probably related to the Spider Queen. Maybe they're rivals there. Mm-hmm. There's this whole kingdom where all the good people seem to reside. And then there's this whole faction of bad people that seem to want to take over the Nexus and fight against them.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And there's even lore within it in the form of, you know, if you look at the skin descriptions for, like, Cyber Anubarak and Mechatacidar and stuff like that, they're from the same universe. Like, they interact with each other and they talk about them being from the same alternate reality. Mm-hmm. And I think that stuff's really neat too.
Yeah, I do too. Well, we'll see. I didn't mean to change subjects, but it's an interesting one to me.
No, I think that's cool.
But I also think your theory about the hacking and the beards is that seems like something Sombra would do. She's dicking around with everybody going, you got a beard now. Brah. I mean, it's that, or maybe these are hand-drawn beards because somebody like Junkrat might be coming, if you believe the internet rumors. He could be a real weenie and be running around with a Sharpie putting mustaches on people. Could see that.
Oh, you mean like a mischief maker?
Yeah, a little trickster man, a little troublemaker, you know? He does that. He's a little Australian trickster man. Anyway, we shall see. A reminder, folks, next week we have an interview with Jade Martin. And he's going to come on the show, talk about the hero he primarily designed, which is this upcoming hero named Garrosh Hellscream. You may have heard of him, both the hero and the designer. We're going to talk all about his kit and design choices, why they went the way they went, and what they hope he will bring to the player pool, to the character pool in the game. So that
and
will
we'll
be
have
next
codes.
Week. Yeah. Oh, we'll have codes for him? For Garrosh?
Yes, we're going to have codes to give away during the show. So make sure you join us live, because we're going to be giving away some Garrosh codes.
Oh my. That's great news. Okay, so giving away Garrosh, talking about Garrosh, wrapping our loving arms around him. That's next week, the 8th of October, or sorry, of August. I was doing so well. I had it so perfect and then totally fell off the wagon. Anyway, that's next week. Can't wait to talk to Jade. And I'm, as always with interviews, like we stuff I do for The Instance or other shows that I've done, I always gravitate toward the philosophical. I want to know what makes these people tick, where their ideas come from. And I don't just mean, so where do you get your ideas? I don't mean that. I mean, like, I want to know what really makes them tick, especially in, when you're talking about a hero like this and having to get their heads around it. And that's exciting to me. So we'll delve into that and much more next week right here on Core. Yes, John.
I just had an epiphany. I just thought of what it could be, the beards.
Oh, okay.
It's all clicked like some big conspiracy theory, and it's just fallen into place.
Okay.
One of the things people have asked for frequently is the gender-swapped versions of Diablo heroes.
Oh.
What if that's what the beards signify?
Except it's on Tracer as well. Except Tracer's looks
don't
like
don't poke holes in my theory. It makes perfect sense.
Tracer it's looks like she stuck her face in a pile of dirt.
A little bit.
Eating it or something. Yeah, it's not really a beard and more of a...
Oreos face.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Man, if you search for Tracer beard, you sure get the wrong results. just a side note. I was trying to find... I can't find any quick access to these images to show the chat room, and the one I found was not anything to do with Tracer.
Tracer shouldn't have a beard because the Overwatch world is much more open-minded.
I agree. It's a very... not that there's anything wrong with that kind of game, you know?
Oh, wait. What if Jeff Kaplan's coming to the game?
Oh, my gosh.
I figured it out.
playable Jeff Kaplan? Are you kidding me?
Look, I Googled Tracer beard, and a picture of Jeff Kaplan in full beard showed up.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I think that might be it.
I'm Jeff Kaplan.
And I'm coming to the heroes. See? Proof. We've done it. We found it. All right.
Figured it out.
Anyway.
His ult is he creates a buffed version of Symmetra to just kill the entire enemy team.
Well, one of his ults has to be, is sequestered in an office for 3 years. No one sees anything about him. He grows a giant beard and then cancels the project he was working on. That has to be one of his ults.
Yeah, that's it.
That turns into Overwatch after that. All right, let's move on. Speaking of Garrosh Hellscream, you know the guy's got talent. that's terrible. Let's talk about stuff. He's got, we talked a little bit, just like kind of touched on his core abilities and stuff, but we haven't really looked at talents and things like that. So, I don't know. Bo, do you want to kind of handle this? Let's talk about his makeup. What's this guy made of and why do we want him so bad in our lives?
All right. So, since last week, we've got the kit. We've got it. And this is an exciting hero.
Oh, hold on. Maybe we're talking about this later. Let me look. Did we talk about how my prediction, or not my prediction, my wish for Mad Max based skinnery?
We're going to talk about skins.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to jump ahead or anything, but I just cannot express how the apocalyptic gods have shined down on me this week with not only the news of this character and his skins, which we'll get to, but also the second episode, which almost is like a premiere since it took so long to get to it. Of Rick and Morty this season is also Mad Max themed. So I couldn't be more excited. If you know me at all, you know that I think Fury Road's the best movie of the last 10 years. That's all I have to say. Bo, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, Garrosh is kind of the Mad Max Fury Road of the Nexus. I think his kit reflects that as well. And first thing he's got, his trait, it's armor up. It reminds me of the Hearthstone ability for him. He has armor up in there. He's got armor up here. Literally every 2% of missing health gives him one armor, which is, you know, armor in the game. It's armor, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's not physical armor or spell armor. It's all the armor. And so you guys know armor. What armor is?
Great. Armor up. Let me tell you about armor.
Yeah.
I'm really over explaining a simple concept. Basically, the lower his HP is, the less your abilities are doing to him. And it actually makes a difference. Keep in mind, you might think, oh man, at max health, he has 50% armor. That's sweet. Or at max range, that also means you have zero HP. Mm-hmm. So you're probably more likely getting an average 25% armor.
Right.
Still decent. All right. Now, the first ability he has is Q. It's called Groundbreaker. It deals damage in a frontal cone, and then enemies on the pie crust of the cone get pulled towards him. Kind of like how Cho works.
The pie crust of the cone. I like that.
Yeah, there's a little pie crust on when you push Q before you confirm the ability, there's a pie crust. And the enemy's hitbox has to be inside the pie crust, and then you get to eat pie. I mean, you pull the enemy towards you. All right, that's the Q. Again, pretty, when I was watching the trailer so far, I was like, okay. W, pretty basic. You click W on something, it attacks. It heals 10% of Garrosh's missing health. Heroes heal for 20% more. There's lots of cool talents with this one. But pretty basic. I think it also resets auto attack animations, so you can get like extra DPS in there if you're kind of a wizard with that. Now, the main event. It's Wrecking Ball. And this ability, I think a nipple popped off while I was watching the development video.
Well, you have you have three, so only one popped off. You're fine.
So, well, I just can sew it back on. It's fine.
He's achieved symmetry, Scott.
That's
Let's celebrate.
I'm excited.
So, and this is, I think, the one that everyone's really talking about. Because what you can do is you can throw a nearby enemy hero, minion, or mercenary to a target location. Now, the thing you pick up with this ability works kind of like Genji's Deflect in that you don't select what you pick up. There's a little horde symbol, the red one, over the thing that if you push the button, you'll pick up. Okay.
This is tricky, and, by the way. We've tried to play with this, and it's not easy to do. We should probably talk some about that.
There's some challenges. I mean, we can sort of take a pause here just to talk about it. Have we all had a chance to try Garrosh in the past 24 hours?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. I did just a try him thing. I didn't play an actual game on the PTR, but enough to realize that Wrecking Ball thing seems to be my way of moving a minion. It seems to be a much more skill shoddy thing than you might think it's going to be before you play.
Yeah, like my impression was, because I played a few quick matches in Europe, so the lag was an issue. But if you're using this in the minion waves, there's a high risk for error if you've got friendly minions around. And even in like a five-man scrum, it happened today, our Garrosh, I was playing ETC, our Garrosh intended to throw me with the talent into the fray.
Yeah.
And Tracer blinked in closer than I was to him, and he threw Tracer into the team, and she died. So the targeting on Wrecking Ball and its sister ability Into the Fray, which is a talent at level 7 that allows you to throw allies that they made much ado about in the featured video, if you've seen it. Very difficult to target, almost recommend not using it in a minion wave. Like, because you fight in minion waves. If you're anywhere near a minion, I almost kind of say, just pretend you don't have the ability because it's so random.
Yeah. Do the combo, from the video, I get the impression there's a combo. And the combo is the ground slam thing. What's it called again? Q?
Groundbreaker.
Yeah, groundbreaker. And then Wrecking Ball when they suck to you. So you have to kind of skill shot that too as well, because you want them on the outer edge of your little pie crust. Pull them in, yeah. And then do the toss. And it seems like that's, at least the video suggests, that's a pretty accurate combo. It's not a combo in the sense that, like, you know, trying to think who else would be a good combo. Like, it's not the same as like Kerrigan's combo, where it's always like, do these three things and then do it again. It's more like, well, positionally, it makes sense for me to now do this combo, but I wonder if that's the trick and you're going to get more accuracy if you pull them to you, grab them, chuck them.
Yeah, see, you're showing the in-development video to the stream viewers, and for the audio listeners, just if you haven't seen it, go watch it. I'm noticing most of these scenarios that they're presenting, no minion waves.
Yeah.
Like, they're in places where minion waves normally are, and somehow there aren't any, or they're conveniently somewhere. And again, this might be the skill aspect. I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing, but in early stages, it whiffs. You're like, okay, we're going to set up a big play, and then you toss Chuck, the ranged minion, and he's like, why'd you throw me, boss? You know, and he's like, well, I didn't mean to. I'm Garrosh.
Did you call him Chuck? Did you give him a name? I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Chuck the ranged minion.
I like that a lot.
We should have names for all of them, actually, for both sides. That's a project someone needs to take up.
Chuck the ranged minion. All right.
He's the one on the bottom side. The one on the top is Edward.
Edward. What do we call the wizard men that leave the bobbles there? What do we want to say about them?
I don't know. I have to come up with a good name.
Clyde. Okay. And the bottom one would be Francis. I like Francis. Okay. Francis the Wizard.
Edward, Clyde, and the first thing I said.
And shit wizards.
Nobody cares about the middle ones.
They're all shit wizards. Every damn one of them. Anyway.
Yeah. So I found it pretty challenging. So too early to complain about it. But my gut initial reaction is this would be really nice if it didn't throw me. I can't think of a possible scenario where throwing a minion or a merc is relevant to anything. Like, what are you going to do? It's like, I'm being chased by Belira. Let me throw this big siege merc at her. It's like it does 2 damage and nothing, you know, like the guy goes ooh, and he throws a rock somewhere. Like, that's not a good scenario. So
I tend to agree. I will see. It feels very skill shoddy. I never really landed it the way I meant it to. But again, I was just trying and I didn't get a lot of time with it. So, you know, too early to say, like you say, but we'll see.
The big revelation is that the level 7 talent into the fray where you throw allies versus the one where you throw an enemy, separate cooldowns.
Oh,
I thought that was great. I assumed they'd share a cooldown.
Yeah.
But you have double the throwing power. So I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that seemed pretty cool. And I just wanted to mention his trait again. In practice, the video doesn't show this, but it has a very nice little graphic next to your name showing the uptick of armor as your health is going down. I don't know why the in-development video didn't show this. Maybe they did it before they could, or there's no UI in those videos a lot anyway, so it's hard to say. But you could see as like Diablo was hitting him, health is going down, and it's going down slower with each hit, but you're also watching with each hit that armor go dink, 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 with like a little shield next to his name and a little plus number. I love that kind of stuff. Very subtle, easy to see. It's good stuff.
That feature is going to be available for all heroes. That's a feature update.
Mm.
So if you're playing any hero who gets armor, you'll have that.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah. That's one of the, there's some quality of life improvements with this patch, and one of them, conveniently with a character whose trait where armor matters, we get the armor thing we've been talking about on the show a couple weeks now. It's like, wouldn't it be nice to know who has what armor? So that information is going to be available about every person in the game. I think enemies as well. So
wow, yeah. I'm into that. I like that a lot. So I'm assuming will that show other things than armor or just armor? Do we know?
It's just armor. It doesn't distinguish between physical armor and
spell armor and all that.
Spell armor. So I think it just shows whatever your highest is. But I haven't seen it enough in game because I've only played Garrosh, or I played as ETC. No, when I played as ETC, it was the same color. And I think he only gives physical armor.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I have to keep an eye out for that. But I think it's only just it's a generic armor number and doesn't specify the difference between the two.
Cool. I'm excited about that one way or the other. Anyway, continue on.
Next up on Garrosh's kit, we got Warlord's Challenge. So, you know how much we've complained about taunt in the game?
Hang on. Garrosh. What is... Hold on. Hey, Alexa, stop. Why is my freaking... Sorry. My echo went off, and I don't know why. I didn't say anything to do anything. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
That's fine. tell Alexa... She's great. Let's give her a compliment. I think that's all she's looking for.
All right.
So Warlord's Challenge is an AoE taunt ability. Because you know, we've complained about taunt quite a bit. I think the solution right now is let's put more taunt in the game, and that way that one taunt won't seem as bad, which is interesting. I have questions. I have questions. Mm. It's cool. I died every time I pushed the button in my games, so I don't know. I don't know how skilled or coordinated play people will leverage this, because it seems like you could use it as a single target taunt if only one person's in range.
Yeah.
So it's a little, I don't know.
You're getting your cake and eating it too, because you're getting both. Yeah. You're getting the Varian thing kind of by default at the same level Varian would get it, by the way.
Yeah. Comboed kind of nice with Mosh Pit, though, let me tell you.
Ooh. Yeah.
So, because I play with a Garrosh who taunted, and I just slide right in there, power slide, and that was kind of fun.
What do you think about that, John? This taunt thing's a big issue. A lot of people talking about it. Group taunt versus single target taunt. Is it OP? Is it going to be a problem?
It just seems so weird because we've been, I mean, we really have. I think we spent like 3 episodes between us bringing it up and then listeners writing in to talk about it, talking about like, hey, they should change the mechanics on Taunt. Like, it seems like a weird ability. It seems like it isn't behaving the way it should. How could they fix it? Like, we kept using the word fix. And apparently they're fixing it by making it a commonplace ability that just other characters can do, and maybe even AoE versions of it. It's very strange, and it remains strange to me because it feels like, it doesn't feel like what you would think a taunt would be. Like, when you think of taunt, you think of protecting somebody, right? Like, I'm taunting so that this thing attacks me and not other people. Mm-hmm. But in Heroes, taunt seems to frequently get used as a, I'm going to interrupt and we're going to blow something up. Like, it's more for your team to pick a focus target and blow things up. It's almost like a taunt for your team. It's almost like the enemy is taunting your entire team to attack them. So I don't know. I think it's a fine ability and we'll see how it pans out. I think the level 20 where it gets a potential cooldown reduction to 5 seconds if you're killing people while taunt is active, like, that seems crazy, but I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I think it might be balanced simply because Garrosh doesn't have a ton of engage, so he can't snag people quite as easily as Varian can. Like, his snag relies on a skill shot as opposed to a point and click slow.
And even that snag is going to displace that character and not necessarily put them closer. In fact, if you're in that close, you're not gaining any advantage by throwing them behind you, because that distance is kind of far. Like, as compared to, say, Diablo or somebody else who has a similar ability where they're just sort of moving you around, your thing is a big displacement thing. Which is also, they mentioned in the video, and it seemed to me to be kind of an escape mechanism, but in reverse. So he doesn't have any real escape. He doesn't get out of the way very easily. He doesn't have some sort of boost or, you know, blink or anything. But what he has is this ability to move a dude somewhere else. And so in that way, he's sort of getting away. I don't know. It's you see this with a few recent heroes where that's the method, and it's a little strange, but I think I kind of like it. Again, that depends if I get any good at it. But what's the talent though, where you can turn this group AoE into like a 5-second cooldown or something?
It's the level 21, and I believe you turn it from a 50-second cooldown to is it 50 or 20 seconds? I can't remember the cooldown on
It's a 50-second cooldown, yeah, okay. And if they die while under the effect of taunt, the cooldown is reduced to 40 or by 45 seconds. So essentially you get taunt up every 5 seconds as long as someone dies while you haven't taunted.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a precision thing, because often with Varian, you taunt them and put them... You taunt them and slow them, but they don't necessarily die during taunt. They usually die a little after. Yeah. So if it's 1.5 seconds and they're pretty strict about it, I could actually see this being a bit of a trap talent. Mm. Also, because it's with Varian, there's a telegraph. There's a charge, and you go, oh, let me watch for the taunt. And there's the taunt, and then you blow it up. With Garrosh, he just kind of stands around, so you never know. There's nothing about the character that telegraphs it's taunt time. I mean, I spent a lot of time watching my Garrosh in my game, and I just kept mosh pit and queue up and watched for it. But I don't think we didn't kill anybody during taunt, and that's sort of the crux of my point. Is I think it sounds amazing. We'll have to see. Mm. We'll have to see. Yeah. I have some doubts.
They're probably not going to make it too OP. Let's talk about Decimate.
Yeah. So this is on an 8-second cooldown. You get 3 charges of it, and you spin in a circle once, slowing everything and doing damage. And I think every character you hit reduces the cooldown of making more charges. So this is basically an AoE slow. It's ridiculously powerful, especially when you have like a dual warrior sort of front line. Mm-hmm. One character, Diablo's manhandling people, and you're just slowing them down to make sure he gets his abilities off. It's I mean, it is what it is. I think it's a very cool looking talent. It's the ability the most makes Garrosh feel meaty. So, and this is something we talk about a little bit later when we talk about just Garrosh in general, is that the tank kit maybe doesn't reflect, you know, his skull cracking ways, but this one really has a good feel to it. But it's a tank tool.
I like it too. So. I'm fully suspect that next week, well, partly because I know some of our questions ahead of time, but we're gonna dig a little deep in that interview about the decisions, or you know, what decisions, or what led to the decisions to pick the ultimates / heroics that they chose. A lot of people are like, wait, where's the Iron Star? Wait, where's the Shaw infested, you know, end times of Garage Hellscream? Those sorts of questions are, I think, interesting. So we'll kind of get into the mindset of why these two and what do they bring to the game as a whole. I think is going to be really interesting to talk about that.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Finally, the last thing, and we usually do some talents of note, but really all we're going to talk about here is there's a talent at level 1 called Body Check, which was featured in the video as well. It basically gives you a 4th basic ability if you pick it. Nothing too incredible about that. There's lots of abilities you pick that end up on your hotbar. This is basically like Varian's slow, charge slow, except there's no charge part. He just body checks people. The curious thing about it is that it's a 30% slow for 3 seconds. Very long, and if your armor is above 20, your armor up bonus, it's actually a 60% slow. Mm. And the damage also increases of it. I don't know how bursty it really is going to be based on the amount of armor up. So that's body check. The interesting thing about body check is that there are talents that matter to body check later on. Some of them you can't even pick unless you've picked body check at level 1. So the first one at level 7, brute force, is literally if you hit somebody with body check, it reduces the healing they receive by 50%. Very powerful. Imagine body checking a guy getting an ancestral for half value. That's huge.
For 4 seconds, that's a long ass time.
Yeah, and you don't get to pick this talent if you don't take body check at 1. So this is new talent sort of philosophy with Garrosh. Mm. At level 13, there's a trait talent called double up. You can still pick it if you don't take body check, but an interesting thing is that the armor bonus matters for body check. So this talent will help ensure 60% slows by procking it. Mm. So this seems like an important sort of ability if that's a thing. And finally, at 20, there is a level 20 talent that you can't take unless you take body check, and you get 2 charges of body check. And its cooldown is reduced, you know, by half. It recharges 100% faster if your armor up bonus is at 25%. So just this whole idea of getting a 4th ability that you can talent up that's so new. And I'm so interested to hear why they decided to do this when we talk to Jade next week, because it's very,
very unusual.
That's just new. It's just new. Can we expect this for more heroes? Is this just a Garrosh thing? Mm-hmm. Could heroes be reworked with this in mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, in some ways, other characters have this. They just don't have they have a talent that may introduce an active ability, but they don't have this sort of upgrade path later. That's shut down to them otherwise. Like that's very interesting. Also, doesn't this basically give him, John, that engage that you were talking about him lacking as compared to, say, Varian? Because now body check is basically a way to get up close, slow, and pop an AOE taunt. And now he's basically, you know, he basically has some of that same kit that Varian does now that he has a number 1 key with something on it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have Varian's charge on it. He just kind of shoots it. It actually looks a little weird. Like, when I first used it a couple times, I was like, wait, did he do it? What just happened?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I mean, I think Garrosh is going to be a character we're going to have to learn to play around, because the amount of times I've seen in just the short time he's been on PTR that I've seen friends and very skilled players pop someone up with Decimate, throw them back into the back line, and watch their team just blow somebody up.
Yeah.
It's been ridiculous, and it's made me kind of say, like, oh, he does totally have an engage. It's like a reverse stitches hook sort of deal. Like, it's almost like an Artana swap. And much like those abilities, I think we're going to have to get good at avoiding it, because that's where his strength is he puts you where you don't want to be.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to those days. You know, somebody always masters what we think is hard at first, like some weird Tromi move or some skill shot somebody else does, a good hook from Stitches. This is now going to be, I hope that Garrosh on that other team isn't good at grabbing me and throwing me over the thing. Like, that's going to be a serious bummer the first time that happens to you. It's going to suck. You'll be mid lane. He's going to grab you. He's going to put you behind their wall. You're going to get towered down. It's going to suck. It's going to feel
Sounds
bad.
Sounds amazing.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to feel bad.
Sounds amazing.
We'll figure out ways, obviously, to deal with it. But what I do like is the more characters they seem to add to this game, the funnier moments are possible, because there's so many weird abilities for displacement and swapping and moving people around and shoving them across the map with Stukov or whatever. You just get to see the best GIFs and videos ever of something weird popping off right at the perfect time when one of these new strange mechanics happen. I don't know. Garrosh is going to bring some of that, I think. So pretty excited. Mm-hmm. Real quick, the thing I wanted to mention was what? It was something about... Oh, while we've been here talking, and I've been looking for some builds, maybe some pre-builds from the PTR experience and stuff, what people are kind of going with. When did Heroes Nexus shut down? Does anyone know when that was?
That was a while back.
A year ago.
It's
no longer a thing.
Why did I not know that? I don't know why. Maybe I go to Heroes Fire enough that it never occurred to me. But I didn't. I mean, I know a lot of the MMO champion stuff started shutting down after Curse was sold to Twitch and they shifted focus. Mm. So, like, their Overwatch site thing went down. I don't think they do the Hearthstone one anymore either. I don't think.
No, the Hearthstone one's there. Is that Hearthstone?
Hearthstone? Oh, yeah, Hearthstone's still there. You're right.
Yeah. No, they shut down Overwatch and they shut down Heroes Fire.
Yeah.
Mainly because, like, those sites are kind of repositories for, like, data dumps and information about the game. And it's, like, information's pretty simple. And, you know, like, how much are you going to talk about the same four abilities on a hero? Like, we can do it, but I just don't think there's a reason for people to visit sites like that, where I'm sure you're looking up cards all the time and making decks on their deck builder sites and things like that. Like, you can, there's only so much you can do with a builder in Heroes, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That just threw me for a loop for some reason. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Back to the thing. Where were we? Oh.
Well, we're on the Theramore maneuver, which I think John put in, so I'm interested to hear.
Yeah, what do you got there,
Johnny? Yeah, so the Theramore maneuver is what it has been dubbed. It is the ability, and we kind of thought about this when we were talking about his kit, but we didn't know for sure. So D.Va, when she detonates her bomb, that counts as a hero body, that mech. That's why Stukov is capable of pushing it.
Yeah.
Well, if Garrosh can throw allies, and that's counting as a body,
right?
Theoretically, Garrosh could throw a detonating D.Va mech.
Mm.
Now, it came out on the PTR, and you couldn't do it. And some people said, hey, shouldn't this work? Because I think this would be really cool if this worked. And Blizzard confirmed it will work once it's live.
Oh.
So we can officially detonate a D.Va mech and throw it at the enemy team.
Holy crap.
Couldn't be more excited for this.
Yeah.
This seems like the best day.
As much as he is main tank, now there is a strong argument for double tanking all the time with D.Va because, that's crazy. Although, I don't know how happy Jayne is going to be about any of this, the name even. She's not going to be happy, dude. She's here to help, not get have it rubbed in her face that her entire... hometown got destroyed by butthole here.
Maybe we'll get angry Jaina again.
Why did the note say Rince Priebus?
You're a gnome mage.
Why does the note say Rince Priebus is Latin for wrench your penis, Garrosh? What's that? Who put that in?
I don't know. John wrote this section. I don't know.
Bo. Of course it was Bo.
I think it was Scott.
I didn't write that. I swear I didn't write that. I don't know who wrote it.
It wasn't me.
Okay. It really wasn't you?
No, it wasn't me.
He's lying to you. He's lying.
I don't know. That sounds like John's sense of humor.
It does. It seems like something I might say, but I don't remember writing it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's cool. So now, actually, we have an email. Somebody or a file today. Somebody complained we haven't done enough Dear Martha. So we should do a little Dear Martha. How do you feel about that?
Oh, okay. I can do a little.
So this next little bit is John doing Dear Martha. He didn't know I was going to spring this on him. That's how this works best. Hold on. I'm trying to find the music. That's why it's taking so long. Here we go.
My dearest Martha, today we are joined by our newest compatriot, Garrosh Hellscream. I don't know why I messed up writing there, Martha. Forgive my little typo. Martha, Garrosh Hellscream is legendary. He can kill people instantly with an exploding iron star, or absorb Sha energy to become even more powerful and intimidating. But Martha, I gotta tell you, he's a little bit boring when you meet him. All I've seen him do is spin around a bit and smash his axe around. He's basically like a giant 5-year-old, Martha. There's not an iron star to be seen. He hasn't beaten up on any ninja panda men or done anything interesting at all. He did pick up Scooter and throw him. That was good for a laugh for about 5 minutes. Martha, I don't think Garrosh is very interesting. But I guess that's just one man's opinion. I don't expect I'll see you again. Garrosh plans to throw me over the enemy's wall tomorrow to prove a point. You know, yours in this life and over the wall. Guy Manning, 97.
We haven't heard from Guy Manning in a while. That was nice.
Yeah, Guy Manning's new.
I miss him. I miss. Didn't we see somebody named Guy Manning in the game once? Isn't that where we got that? No. You just make that
I
don't up? Know.
I may have even said it before because Guy Manning is my go-to made-up name.
I love it. Guy Manning is great. So good. All right. Well, there you go. So the point, the main point being with that, dear Martha, is you were worried. Now, you were kind of back into it, and then you're kind of not into it, and now you're not sure.
Now, yeah, it doesn't believe, make sense.
Wait. Let John gather his thoughts while I say, I believe he said the best part about Garrosh being announced is that he wouldn't be announced again. or something to that effect. Maybe he was paraphrasing someone else's words.
Have you made a turn in that opinion since we've last met?
Yeah. All right. I guess. I don't know. Like, it's very conflicting because originally they were like, we're putting in Garrosh. And I was like, oh, man. What crap. It's like the worst orc.
Yeah.
And then I saw his kit and I was like, oh, that kit sounds nothing like my Garrosh. And now all of a sudden I'm on the side of like, no, if you're going to put Garrosh in the game, I want exploding iron stars and Sha energy. And I want him to become a big monster with extra eyeballs. And I want him to wipe the raid team.
Yeah.
And instead they gave us like Hearthstone Garrosh.
Yeah, he's a little, yeah. He's Blade's Edge, you know, Negrand. Check me out. I'm a brown-skinned orc kind of guy. For sure.
So
it's a little more subdued.
I mean, look, his kit is cool. Yeah. Like, we've just talked about it. It's cool. I have a feeling I'm going to play a lot of him, much to my chagrin.
Yeah.
He's got...
You're going to play a lot of him and be mad about it?
I don't think... Yeah. Define like, chagrin. You're going to be... What's going to happen is... Yeah, it'll be like Chromie, right? Better yet, it'll be like Chromie in the bikini thing she wears. You just hate...
I like playing Chromie on the bikini.
That's true. Okay, let's say it's like me playing Chromie in that stuff. It's just you loathe the fact that you're enjoying yourself because it's normally a thing that would annoy you, right? I mean, that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah, and it's fine. And it's just, like, he's going to be good. I just... You know, my thoughts on Garrosh come almost exclusively from World of Warcraft. And that was a raid I was very invested in. I spent a lot of time fighting that raid.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of preconceived notions about what the hero should be. And I think everybody's like that. I made the mistake of going onto Reddit and saying this might as well be a Grom kit. And boy, did I find out quickly that people have some preconceived notions about what a Grom kit should be, too.
Yeah.
Like, we all have baggage that we carry to these characters for good and for bad. And so I guess my lesson that I've learned is that I don't like Garrosh very much as a person or an orc. And but if I'm going to hang out with him, I want to hang out with the version that I know and hate.
Yeah.
And it turns out that wasn't this one either.
Yeah.
But I do think I'm going to play him, and I do think it'll be fun. And, you know, some skins might help with that.
Maybe, we'll talk about those skins, because those skins are important. But maybe this is his little redemption arc, you know? This is how Garrosh gets back in our good graces. He's just a damn fine tank who makes a give-me-a-hand joke to Thrall. If they don't do that, they're missing an opportunity. I'll say that again.
Whoa. Glad you said joke.
He'll say, Thrall, give me a hand. Get it? Brr! because he gave him the big fist. Oh, this is getting worse the more I talk. So
I get it.
Yeah, you got it. Bo got it.
And jokes and fists.
There you go. Hey, HDC on Disney XP. What the hell is that? And also, shouldn't they be Disney Windows 10 by now? Get it? Because XP, get it? It's an old operating system for Windows. Anyway, so Bo, this came out of nowhere. Like, hey, HTC's going. It's having a good time. But now there's, and they got, you know, their deal with Twitch and everything with the cheers and all that we talked about last week. But suddenly out of no place, like straight up, we're getting Disney's like gaming channel thing is going to be airing HTC final stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about it. I think that's kind of the point. This is a news article we're doing about literally a tweet's worth of information. Yeah. MilkFat tweeted it out. Hey, it's on Disney. To me, Heroes on Broadcast Television, kind of a big deal. This doesn't seem like a big deal is made out of it. But I guess that's where sort of main broadcast TV sits with everybody in esports viewing. But I still thought it was pretty cool.
I think it's really cool that the HGC existed. This is a new audience to experience it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's cool. I think Heroes could draw an audience there. Although, I think it's at like 11:30 at night.
Oh, really?
Okay. So, you know, it's at a later evening audience. It's when I would watch HGC, so it's fine.
Oh, it's MilkFat. We talked to him at, or maybe you guys didn't. I talked to these guys at BlizzCon last year, or the year before that. Now I don't remember.
I think you might have done that with with B-Huff and Seven.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You're right. We sat and talked.
I want to say the Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report. They were super cool, those guys. Rally Point is their show.
Yeah, that's right.
They used to be a part of. But yeah, he's awesome. Okay, now I don't know why that doesn't matter to this discussion, but I'm excited to know that that's who I've been following and listening to. It's the same guy. Anyway, Point is, it's mainstream exposure. That doesn't hurt anybody. And this stuff's still on Twitch. So this is an exclusive. That's the other thing to note here. As best we can tell, anyway, from a single tweet's, you know, context, this doesn't mean, you're not going to get it on Twitch. It's some deal or anything like it was with the Facebook deal. This is something better than that. This is another place to get it. So,
by the way, HGC is still on Facebook, and I learned this because Twitch is blocked at work, but Facebook isn't.
Oh, that's weird.
Hopefully, nobody I work with is listening.
Isn't that a weird thing? I would think it'd be the opposite. It seems like Facebook.
Twitch is
full
of gaming, but Facebook is an important business platform.
Is it?
Can't block that.
Is it? Is it really?
I don't know. Okay. All I know is I can squeeze in a little HGC if I really wanted to on Facebook. So that's a check in the pro column.
Yeah. HGC sounds like an ointment that you would want to squeeze into something. I'm moving on now.
Into a Slim Jim.
Into a Slim Jim, brother.
he says snap.
You're
squeezing into a Slim Jim, brother.
Squeeze into a Slim Jim. Oh, yeah.
I can't do that. You know, I don't know if you ever have a thing that you used to be able to do a lot with your voice, and then you've done it too many times, and now when you do it, it hurts. That's one of those. I can't do Roddy Piper. What's his name?
Randy Savage.
I can't do Randy Savage without it hurting my throat. It's no longer a thing I can do.
When you say squeeze into a Slim Jim, I'm picturing him saying it to pigs or whatever sort of meat they put in those things, and them just looking horrified while he's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to get you. I'm going to put you in the Slim Jim. Just squeeze right in there.
Oh, I can't do it. If I make that sound, it hurts. It makes my throat hurt.
I know. I'll probably have no voice tomorrow.
You're a lucky guy.
Me listening to it.
Here are some changes on the PTR along with our good buddy Garrosh coming. Butcher's getting some changes. Basic attack damage lowered from 140 to 130. I also heard he's more laney or switch laney now or something. What was I hearing? Okay. Something from Kyle, actually. What was that about?
It's the Butcher playstyle right now, and why these changes matter is because he literally does nothing but farm lanes. He doesn't participate in the map until he completes his quest trait, which is like one of the original quests in the game.
Yeah.
So once he hits 125 meat stacks, then his, you know, in the new version of the Butcher, his cleaver glows, and then all he does is kill and win the game. He snowballs pretty hard once he hits that power spike.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all he does is farm until it's time to beat people up, and then he beats people up. So I think if I had to take a stab at it, because they didn't provide any developer notes on this one, I'd fill in the blanks and say We don't like the idea that a butcher player just does PvE for the first 8 to 15 minutes of the game and then kills everything when he gets his power spike. So they're making it a lot harder. Kind of like how they did with Nazebo. They made his quest a lot harder to get.
Yeah.
They increased the meat required from 125 meats to 200 meats. And the damage bonus per meat stack decreased from 1 to 0.5. So the meats are worth less. You have to get more. You'll get the bonus at once it's complete, but it's only a 25% increase on the bonus. But I imagine people will be getting it much later. So I think the idea might be that he's going to have to farm until level 30. So farming's not going to be worth it. So don't farm, people.
Yeah.
That's my guess. And he's getting 5 times the meats from killing heroes that he previously did, further incentivizing, hey, the quicker way to get your meats is to kill other heroes and not farm lanes.
I do like that you keep emphasizing the word meats. I think that's great.
I know. It's kind of disturbing after the Slim Jim talk, though.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
I'm not sure I could classify that stuff as meat, though, or meats. It's more like...
I got the meat sweats.
Greases eats. Anyway.
That's the TLDR on him, except it wasn't the TLDR. I said a lot of stuff.
Greasy flesh tubes. There you go.
Ugh.
Yeah, that could be something else, too. Moving on. So that's him. He's getting some stuff done. Watch for that. There's smaller stuff. We'll talk about some of the stuff next week. Let's talk about the quality of life things that have happened. We already talked about armor indicators and that coming. I think that's huge. Very excited. The player's selected banner now appears alongside the MVP. So this is actually a cool thing, in my opinion, because I've said it on the show before and I've felt this way since 2.0 launched. The banners are useless. Because when you go and take a camp or you do accomplish one of the map objectives, in comes your banner. There it is. But nobody cares. They're out of there. They're on their way out. In fact, some of the time you're there on your lonesome and all you did was bribe a freaking camp and then you got a banner there. Whoop-dee freaking do. Nobody cares. It doesn't have the impact that a spray or a taunt or a dance does. So... even though this is a small thing, I like the idea that that thing that you worked hard to either roll for with your loot boxes or get better rolls when you paid gold or paid for with shards is now actually something you can display with some pride. So having that on the MVP screen is totally sensible thing, and I like that they're doing it.
Yeah, now all they need to do is have it also play your voice line, and also I would like to see the voice line autoplay when you get a killing blow on somebody.
Yep. I agree, because what's the point of having those otherwise? Like, give me more reasons to be happy that those showed up in my roll, you know? Because right now I just see it and go, bip, reroll, bip, reroll, bip. It's all mounts and skins for me. The rest of it I don't care that much about. I mean, I want them, but I kind of want them and I got to collect them all kind of attitude, and I would much rather start with cool skins and mounts. So yeah, make that stuff more valuable and more reason to keep them or to collect them or to get the shards for and that kind of stuff. Mini-map icons are clearer and smoother. Give me an example. Will a little dragon head look more like a little dragon head when someone's inside the dragon goat thing?
The icons are framed in circles.
Mm-hmm.
The icons are smaller, and they move really smoothly. It's hard to describe, but it kind of, before, would move kind of juddery a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has just this nice, smooth feel. Like, I was spending some time looking at the map and looking at me, and I'm like, wow, look at how smooth my movement is on the minimap. So it actually, it's just really improved the minimap quite a bit, actually.
Mm.
Apart from that, I mean, it's just less visual clutter. We have Lost Vikings. We have all kinds of heroes with extra little tidbits that end up on the map. I just found it a lot easier to see portraits and scrums and identify some of the portraits that were hard to identify before.
Right.
So it's great. I think it's great.
Yep, I like that too. Big fan of... graphical tweaks and improvements. What else? We got CDs are now shown. CDs are shown near cursor if the ability is on CD cooldown. That is to say. So that's cool. I like that.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't have to look down at your keys. It'll just show you right there on your mouse.
Yeah, I do like that. Actually, I like that a lot. Oh man, I have a big screen. I'm a big dummy, and I have like a 42-inch freaking 4K TV for a screen. And I did that because I thought that was cool. What I didn't expect was, and John, you may have experienced some of this with your big widescreen now.
Yeah.
But sometimes you really are kind of out of, the things get out of your periphery a little bit. and you're just not thinking about it. Like, I'll install a new game on Steam or something, and it'll have little UI elements that I'm supposed to be clicking on that are, like, way down in a corner someplace, and I spend 10 minutes going, where the hell is the navigation bar? And realize, oh, it's way over here on the other side of the room, right? So this is, I like stuff like this. I like to keep my attention on my character out in the scrum. I don't want to always look at my buttons. This is a small thing, but again, quality of life improvement. Chat is now movable. Can I move it completely off the world?
Yep.
Can I move it to the recycle bin?
Yeah. Please? Can I drag it and drop it into a refuse pile? Because I hate it.
Sure can.
Okay, good. So that's a thing I can do now. Character pictures instead of names in chat. So that's cool, I guess. I don't know. Is that all right? How do we feel about that?
Artanis right, okay says, GG, uninstall, noob. You're so bad. Like, seriously, you're the worst player I've ever seen.
Worst player NA, he'd say.
And then Thrall says, what? Yeah. And then Artanis says, kill yourself.
So also some important bug fixes. Karazim, Carl Jim, as we like to affectionately call him, his seven-sided strike will no longer target D.Va, or her, rather her mech, during self-destruct. So she will not be one of the seven sides of your strike. That's good, because you don't really care to do damage to that inanimate object.
In fact, someone might step into your circle while your dude's seven-sided, because I think it prioritizes the highest health heroes, and the mech has zero.
Yeah, that is correct.
So, but still, I think this is just, it helps clear your seven-sided strike math when you're trying to figure out, is it the right time? Yeah. You're doing all the equations. Now you can just ignore the mech, which I think is good, because most things don't ignore the mech. The mech is like a sixth hero on your team while it's blowing up.
That is true. This will. That is true. John, you hate Hanamura. That's no secret. That's been known for a while. It is known, as they say.
It is known.
Hanamura is out of the rotation in ranked, and Bo's holding up a fine limited edition painting we got from Blizzard, which we love, of Hanamura itself. That's the best thing about Hanamura, probably, in John's mind. But how do you feel about having that out of ranked rotation? And moreover, do you think that means it's some hands on deck to tweak the thing?
I want to believe that. Instead, I think it's them finally acknowledging, hey, maybe we should get rid of Hanamura for a little bit. Yeah. And they should, because it is still an awful map. And they need to desperately fix it. It's the worst map in the game.
But do you think, what's the other reason to take it out? Would they tell us, in other words, that they're working on it? Because they didn't tell us anything about Haunted Mines for a long time.
No, that's true. I mean, they did fixes to it. I think they're still going to continue to try to mess with it and probably tweak it. I mean, look at how long they've tweaked Garden of Terror, despite people saying, like, hey, that we really don't like this map, and they've continued to play with that one. So I think Hanamura is probably higher on their priority list, because I think there's a general feeling that the map is actually not functioning correctly. Garden of Terror tends to come down to personal preference. Like, there's a way to play that map. There's a way for that map to go. Like, it's kind of fine. It's just not their most fun map. Hanamura actually feels like a broken map. So it's out of ranked rotation. Hooray. We only have to worry about it in quick match now.
Okay. So. Well, there you go. And even then, you'll still hate it. It doesn't matter. You hate it. You hate it. You don't like that map. I understand.
Yeah.
This is the one time that bites you in the butt, by the way, where they went to not limiting the pool for quick match is now going to bite you in the ass. Because you're going to play that, and you're going to get Hanamura, and you're going to be like, damn it, I should have played rank tonight.
It's just like when they opened it up and they said, oh, all maps are now available in Quick Match, and I got Garden of Terror three times in a row.
Yeah.
I was like, well, yep, I deserve this. I asked for it. They did it. And now I've got three times of Garden of Terror.
Yep. That's
so it's fine. Towers of Doom is in the ranked rotation, so all is right with
the world. Yeah, all is right with the world when that map's out.
I want to chime in here and say the only thing that I don't like to contribute to the negativity. Mm. I think I've reached my limit. On Hanamura hate.
Whoa. Oh, I thought you meant on Hanamura, period, but no, you're...
No. I'm like, after today, let's be done with Hanamura. I just can't take it anymore. I can't take all the bad talking about Hanamura. Not just John and on the show, but just generally in the community.
Yeah. You've always been
I'm tired of it.
You've always been a little apologetic for Hanamura, and I don't mean that in a negative way. You've always seen its positives and liked what it was trying to do in terms of new things and that. I'm being honest, as much as I think I don't like Hanamura, most of my dislike of Hanamura is when I'm playing Hanamura with John. And John, this is not a negative thing toward you. It's just that when I'm playing with my friends and we get dealt a map. Actually, I kind of feel the same way when I play what's the one with the Zergrush? That one. The one Bo doesn't like. I feel the same
Braxis
way.
Braxis holdout.
Yeah, I feel the same way because I think Braxis is fine in a vacuum, but our preferences as a regular playing group does affect how I feel on a game-to-game basis. So I feel like I don't really enjoy Hanamura and I don't really enjoy Braxis, but kind of for those reasons. I think I'd enjoy them more if I was with somebody who loved those maps. And I don't really have one that I out-and-out hate or that you guys would probably get that feeling about. So maybe this is just unique to me. But I feel that way about those two maps for that same reason. But I totally understand where you're coming from, Bo. It's like that map is, I mean, it's now become the butt of the map rotation joke, right? Like,
it's literally like 500 Reddit threads a day. Still, I was on there today, and it's like, Hanamura is so bad. Now people are farming us because there's no more minions pushing the lane, and they trolled us by making the game longer. And I'm just like, let's get some new maps. But
sometimes
second of
you're
all,
at a party,
yeah,
and somebody comes up to you and they smile very politely and they seem very nice. They're a wonderful person, and then you discover that they've got like an entire stock of broccoli in their teeth. And some people want to point it out and be like, "Hey, man, just a heads up, because you know this is a party. You should get that broccoli out of your teeth." And some people want to be polite and pretend like the broccoli isn't there. And meanwhile, that person's going up to a bunch of other people and smiling, and they all have to put up with the broccoli.
Hey, they're
so
a beautiful person.
Some of us
equally
are
deserving of respect to non-broccoli teeth people. That is the wrong message, sir. Wrong message. You can politely point out, hey, you've got broccoli in your teeth if you cared about that kind of thing. If not, I still think you're a cool person, or I don't know. I don't think you're that interesting, and maybe you don't talk to them. It's a party.
Right.
I don't know.
You're going to call them old broccoli teeth from then on out, though.
Yeah. See, that's the wrong thing. You know, we don't do that to real people. Yeah. You know, we don't separate people. We shouldn't separate people.
But you can do it to your friends, right? That's where you can do it.
Yeah.
If you guys saw me and you went, Scott, why is there a single string of cooked spaghetti hanging out of your zipper? I'd say, that was a mistake. Must have been dinner. And then you guys could always from then on call me, you know, spaghetti zipper or whatever you wanted
to
call me.
That's way too specific to be made up.
I also like
that,
the answer.
That happened.
Whoops,
that happened.
That's my dinner.
Whoops.
It might not have been Scott, but Scott's seen it or it's been him.
Yeah, there's old Italian dinner crotch, you'd call me. Whatever. I'd say actually it's never happened to me, so I made that up, I promise. It's never had that happen, but I was trying to think of something ridiculous, and I think it kind of worked.
I mean, it was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. It works. Yeah.
But
anyways,
like you're trying to do a good public service by pointing out, hey, sir, you know, you have broccoli in your teeth. And some people are like, oh, thank you, I'm so embarrassed. But, like, we shouldn't think any less of those people. And, if they chose to keep the broccoli in their teeth, they'd probably still have merits that we could find.
No, we would hope that they would fix it, which is all I'm doing. I'm saying, like, Hanamura is a beautiful map with wonderful, amazing qualities, and it has so much potential. And all I'm saying is there's just a little bit of broccoli. Yeah. And just let's fix the broccoli, and then everybody can love Hanamura.
Yeah. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that would be great. But I think what Bo's point, or the point I think Bo is making, is, all right, now we've said all we can say. Like, until they fix it, you know, Hanamura is what it is. It's just going to be in the one rotation. It's not going to be in the other. So I'm okay with that. I can make a pact. Hanamura is no longer part of my discussion until they fix it.
No, you guys will talk about what you want to talk about, but I just feel like we've bagged a lot on Hanamura, and that's why I showed the little picture of the art. I feel like Hanamura is a really special map to me, mm-hmm. and I think like, I think all maps can be improved, but I think, like, the community, and that includes us, has really taken this and run off the meme deep end of just bagging on this map, like, for ridiculous reasons. So you can win with all healer comps. We've been beat on, like, all the maps with all healer comps. Well, you can win with Siege. Well, guess what? We five-manned have been beat by five-man specialist teams on all the maps. Like, these things, like, these things that people, like, they just think there's a lot of them. What is it? Not rhetoric, but
crowd or herd.
Not propaganda.
Not diuretic, but there's like a word.
Herd mentality.
It's just a lot of like blah blah blah. There's a lot of like very extreme feelings based stuff that I feel like is informed in this echo chamber of what's on Reddit and what's online. And people's bad experiences with it. Towers of Doom was not very favorably received at first. I just think people, there's not a consensus on how to play it, and we're really struggling with it because it's challenging, and I don't think it gets a fair shake.
I think we're treating it exactly fair enough. Like not to be too harsh on you, Bo, but like, this is a map that Blizzard said, hey, yeah, we recognize that there are issues with it. By the way, it's continuing to be in the ranked rotation. That's inexcusable to me. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's not game-breaking. It's not going to destroy the game. But don't sit there and tell me, like, hey, yeah, we recognize there's a big problem with this map. By the way, it's still in the ranked rotation. Like, no, that's a problem to me as a player, and I think that's a legitimate problem to me. Like, you just made the change.
You don't play that where much you ranked, can, though.
It doesn't matter. It's the principle of it. Like, don't tell me, like, hey, there's this character's broken. By the way, we encourage everybody to go into ranked and play it. Like, fix the problem and remove it. And especially on a patch where they made it to where you could still play Hanamura in quick match. Like, that was the time they made that change. So it wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't like if they removed it, it was out of the game. That they left it in ranked rotation. There's no reason for them to do that. I think it deserves exactly as much ire as it gets. Sure, there's a lot of people out there who poo-poo it for a lot of different reasons, but guess what? That's reflective of the fan base, and Blizzard should listen to it and take steps. Yeah. It being out of the map rotation is them finally taking a step in the positive direction, in my opinion. So I put it in here not as an attempt to trash it again, but it is an attempt to say, hey, look, Blizzard recognized that maybe there's a problem with this map, and maybe we can finally get to a place where Hanamura is decent again.
Yeah, what John's saying is that he hated Hanamura before it was cool to hate Hanamura. That's what he's getting at. I totally get it. Now, I think that's worth that's worth saying. I think that at the end of all of this, what's going to happen is at some point, when I don't know when that'll be, we're going to end up with a map we all like a lot more than we like now, and that's good enough for me. I have hope. I have both hope and faith and a track record with Blizzard with them fixing things I didn't like before. So I have a feeling that they are probably all over that. So we'll see. Real quick, let's talk about the loot box situation or the garage patch. You know, when these things drop, we have something we want the most, right? Things we're most excited about, whether it's a skin or a voice pack or whatever. Let's go around and talk about what everybody wants the most. John, what do you want the most outside of a completely fixed Hanamura? What are you looking forward to out of the garage patch?
Well, this is gonna not cause a stir at all when I say the thing I want most in my loot boxes. It's actually the thing Bo's going to talk about. But the thing I want the second most in my loot boxes is the Garrosh announcer.
And that's in there, right? Confirmed?
You should say the thing that you want, not the thing you second want.
No, because you want the thing that I want the most even more than I do. So let's save that. We'll talk about it there.
We both have it.
Yeah.
Besides, I get to sound super hypocritical by saying I want the Garrosh announcer. Yeah, I think that is insanely cool that they put him in there. I think for all the things I've said about Garrosh, he's got an awesome voice. And I am ready for him to scream about me killing enemies very loudly in my ear while I play the game.
I have that clip somewhere. Where do I have that clip? I've got the voice actor who did that. Let's see if I can find it real fast. Because he is awesome and scary sounding. Here it is. Here's a little. It's a little something he did for the instance. I'll just play it.
When I'm not busy making faces at the humans, I'm listening to the instance. Alliance Pigs.
See, that's pretty good. Yeah. I want that. I want that guy, which is who does his voice now. I want him to do a voice pack. Yes. And I didn't know that was confirmed. That's confirmed. It's in there.
That is in there. That is in there for us to get. And I cannot wait to like kill somebody as Lily and hear him go, "You did it. You killed him." And Lily's like, "Yay, a flower."
Yeah.
I have it on PTR.
Yeah. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, you already have it. You mean
I think I got it in a loot box. Yeah, it's incredible. Oh. It's literally the best voice pack.
All right, I'm excited.
But I don't have it in the real game, just on the PTR.
I'm excited about that one as well. All right, Bo, what is it for you? What do you want the most?
Well, I just really just wanted to report that. I mean, there's a lot of good skins coming out with this next run. I thought I was most excited for Scott's skin, which we'll talk about next.
Yeah.
But I tried in try mode last night, Templar Li Ming. And I didn't realize the full extent of its legendariness.
Mm.
The teleport is a Protoss teleport with the Protoss sounds.
Oh, like, man. That's
the
really cool.
The magic missiles look like, you know, Protoss projectiles. The arcane orb isn't like a void hole, but it's still blue colored, so it works.
Yeah,
it's a blue and hole. Oh my
it's
god,
a blue hole.
A blue hole. And the disintegrate is incredible. Yeah. The disintegrate is like a giant distortion beam. Like it's small stuff, but it fits. Like even ETC has that, and he's for 600. Yeah. So does the Anubilisk. But like the Li Ming one is just, oh my god, it was way better than I expected it to be.
I'm very excited about that one for sure. Gosh dang it. That's
me too.
That's way up there for me as well. I think all three of us would like to have that one. And I like Li Ming, so, and she has no quests, which
note,
I love about
that
the most.
All of them are blue and white.
Yeah.
So there's like a Tel'Darim one and like different colored one. Yeah. They don't have different colored abilities, just a heads up.
Right. Okay, so for me, it's by far and away my wish, which was a week or two ago, I'd said, man, I sure wish they'd do some Mad Max theme stuff. And they did it. Mad Max Fury Road business going on with his skins. He is called quite literally, what's his name? Mad Axe. He has a little thing on his butt that says that's his name. He's covered in pipes and crap and garbage and machines and stuff, just like you would expect. One of his arms is a artificial arm, a la Furiosa sort of. And he's maybe more excited than over the skins. I'm more excited maybe for the mounts. The bikes that they've got in this thing are bad to the ass, and I want one of those real bad. And every character I have will be riding that for a while when I get one of those. So yeah, like straight up, all the Mad Max references are super, super awesome, and I'm very excited about those. There's some other stuff. The L800 ETC, what's that one? Oh, that's the Terran thing
of ETC.
Yeah, which looks real good. John, you get a new Artanis portrait. You excited about that?
I know, two of them. Yeah. I have to choose.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that.
How can you choose? It's like choosing your favorite child. It's almost impossible.
I know, so many Artanis portraits, so little time. I'll have to change it depending on my mood.
Hey, does Li Ming do the voice thing that Protoss people do with the whole like, and then she says a word, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
there's some modulation on her voice. Yeah, she says all of her lines, but it's not quite full. She doesn't go full Protoss, but it's like pretty good.
I kind of wish she just had Artanis's voice or Tassadar's voice. Just go, sometimes I even impress myself, like that would be really good.
Yeah, no, she doesn't have that inflection. It's still her, but it does have like the echoey spaciness to her voice.
So cool.
I'm Li Ming. I'm a wizard, Harry.
I'm all for that. Oh my gosh. All right, time for this. Today's a little unusual in that I'm going to play a call that came to us via email, core@heroesforyou.com. It's the part of the show where we read your emails and play your calls. This came in the format of an MP3, and you guys can do that. No problem. We're happy to check those out and play them. core@heroesforyou.com. Here is his question. He has an accent. Check it out.
Hey, guys. I often use your podcast to keep me in touch with the game after I've rage quit for a week or two because of a rather embarrassing losing streak. But I've got a bit of a question, but it could be taken as a suggestion if it doesn't already exist. Is there a Dear Martha compilation episode anywhere? Basically, If not, can you make one, please? Anyway, thanks for the great content, and please stop skipping the Dear Martha section.
Okay. Jeez, making demands here. We did one today. Somebody out there was doing some SoundCloud compilation, but I don't remember how that ended up going. Didn't somebody do that? I don't remember.
I don't know. It's got to be hard because we aren't super consistent about it. I'm going to say this. This is how I wash my hands of it and don't feel guilty about it. Yeah. It's like it's up to Scott and Bo to set it up because I want to be surprised by them. So
Scott, basically, the thing about it is that, wait, what's a Horcrux?
It's those seven things that Harry had to find to kill Voldemort in the last two
maybe
books.
Maybe that's not the word I'm looking for then. Like, we have to tap into a ley line, and they're invisible. They're invisible. And when we start to see the ley line, when John, you know, starts to just really dig into something.
Yeah.
Scott and I look at each other from the cross room, and we know, and we go like, Dear Martha, it's Dear Martha time. Like, because the idea behind Dear Martha is we catch him in the throes of you know, just feeling, you know, tearing a strip off something.
Yeah.
And then Dear Martha helps bring it all back into a funny place, and sure. John enjoys it. So we can't just manufacture it.
Right.
We can't. And I think John would agree, but. Like, as he says, he's the victim of Dear Martha, really.
Yeah, really is. Well, we just spring it on him. And the thing is, sometimes the most sprung on are the best ones. But if we said, all right, we're going to write these ahead of time and make them, like, it'd lose its magic. Like, that's half the fun is the improv, you know?
I like being able to make it up. Like, I saw the one because it was suggested in the notes on this, and I don't feel like. Like, today's was fine, but I don't feel like
it was fine. But you're probably onto something. Like, some of that stuff is better when. You got, you know, there's no lifeline. Like, you just have to be on stage and go. So I don't know that we can be, I mean, maybe we can be better about putting in the show notes when these have happened so that somebody who wants to compile
them. I tossed it in the show notes like 10 minutes before we got to it.
So. Right. But
so,
but
if fair note, it's a good note. I'll take it. We won't throw them in the notes.
But when we do them, you could put them in our end of show notes. I mean, like the stuff that shows up on the podcast later so that, those at home who may want to find them can easily spot them. But then again, we haven't been doing it for 81 or 89 episodes, so maybe it won't matter.
Or when the chat room calls it out. Sometimes the chat room has a good sense of it. Like, they'll just be like that's where the Stukov one came from.
Yeah, that
was the chat room was just like, please do a Russian Dear Martha.
Yeah, and it was one of our best. That is to say, one of your best, because we didn't really do anything but laugh at it. So, yeah. I totally agree. Also,
Bo made a pretty great face.
I think any time Bo, oh yeah, that face will live on in infamy forever. Anytime Bo says something like, "I want you to more often," Bo say things like, "What's an easy bake oven?" And then we'll say,
"What's a Horcrux?"
Yeah. Like, it just be some random thing, and we'll tell you what it is. Well, it's this thing my sister had. She made little muffins and cookies in it. Oh, that's not what I'm looking for. Okay, anyway, and then move on to whatever.
I just felt like Horcrux would have been the right word, but I wanted to check, and it was off.
He looked deep into his lexicon and was like, Horcrux, that sounds like the word I want.
Yeah.
But what is it exactly?
I don't like when people think they know a word and then use it authoritatively, but then don't know the word.
I prefer your method, because A, it made me laugh, and B, it also speaks to the genuine nature of you. So I don't change it. I think it's amazing.
I like the idea that while he was talking, Bo got handed a note or something that was like, we have to destroy the last Horcrux. And he was just like, oh, shit, that seems serious. What's a Horcrux?
What's a Horcrux? And we told you, and you really needed that info, but you're pretending like you didn't know so that you can then solve all of, you know, Hogwarts.
I wasn't sure. I kind of thought a Horcrux might have been a thing that was just really integral to a piece of magic, and John's magic required a Horcrux.
Oh, well, it kind of is. And I mean, in the case of,
I went with ley lines. Ley lines are the source of magic. So
yeah, in the way it worked for Voldemort, the Horcruxes worked like weird security measures. Like, that's how those were. It's like a piece of my magic spread all over the place. That way nobody can get all of me at once. Mm. It's like having your data in the cloud and on a hard drive at the same
time. They're kind of like a lich's phylactery, right?
Yeah. Like a phylactery. Yeah. What the hell's a phylactery?
You put one on before you visit the undead.
I
No, that's a prophylactic, not a phylactic.
No, but that was really funny. Oh my gosh. Always wear a
phylactery is like a thing that a lich, because liches, you can kill them, but they keep coming back. You have to break their phylactery, then kill them.
I will not
really. Usually, breaking a phylactery is bad news.
No, it's really bad. You're going to end up with, you'll 9 months later.
Little baby liches.
Yeah, you don't want baby liches. Nobody does. I can tell you this, though. We're done, everybody. Good show. Well done, everybody. Well done. There will not be games tonight. I have a movie I have to go to, so I'm going to go do that. But you guys will play, and you can maybe even watch them play. I guess Bo will be streaming it. I'll be hosting that stream as well, so if you're too lazy to go over there, you can sit and watch mine, or you can hop over to Bo's. His is at Gorath 2Rs, right? Gorath, yeah.
Yeah, it's, well, actually, my Gorath name is G0R4TH because someone has Gorath.
That is leet, dude. Pretty leet.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. No, it's
horrible.
But
there's a sweet emote you can see that our subs have there. So
yeah, it works out really good.
Posted it many times over my face today.
And of course, if you stay here, it'll auto host and you'll be able to click his name and just go there. So you can do that. That's going to do it for us. I'll let you guys know how Atomic Blonde is on some other show. That's what we're going to
see.
I'm
excited. That looks so good.
I know. It looks awesome. It's like John Wick meets James Bond meets Furiosa. All in. I'm all in on this whole concept. It's also based on some comic I've never read, so kind of excited about that as well. May check that out. Anyway, thank you all for being here. Heroes4U.com is our website, or you can go to frogpants.com/core. Both places are the same. And if you want to join us in game, /joinfrogpants, play with us and other listeners. That'd be awesome. Core@heroes4u.com, again, is our email address. And on Twitter, you can find us. Find Bo at Bo Schwartz. John at John_Jagger. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And, of course, the show at Core Heroes. That's going to do it for us. For me, for John, for Bo. See you next time.
Wait a minute.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.